Good morning, 8:08 a.m. on Saturday, July the 16th, 2016. Okay. 8:16 on 7:16. Okay, well, rock on then. This afternoon, I have to go down to Denver to the book bar for the big announcement for the Independent Writer of the Year. The Writers of the Year, the Independent Writer of the Year, and the Writer of the Year. As awarded by the Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers. Now, the difficulty is I don't know if I'm going to win. I don't, honestly, I don't know enough about the judging criteria to know whether I'm going to hold against two very well-known members of the Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers since I've not been a member. I've not been a visible member for very long at all. So we'll see. And the difficulty is that I probably need to be thinking a little bit anyway about, okay, what do you say if you do win? I suspect I'm going to have to say something like, thank you, it's been a great honor. And I'm frankly a bit surprised. Now, the side of it is that I'm probably the only, I'm certainly the only indie. Well, no, that's not true either, because I think Bernadette might be making a living at writing. And I think there are a couple of traditional published authors in the group, although they may not appear. Carol Berg is up for Writer of the Year. I don't know if she's quit her day job yet. I talked to her a couple years ago, and she had a huge number of titles out, and was hoping that in the coming year she could quit the day job. Well, I don't know if she's done it or not. That there's a big contingent of traditionally published authors. It's largely because Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers has been around for a long time, and so people who've been in the biz, as they say, for a long time, have been members for a long time, and longevity counts. The indie authors weren't even allowed to join until very recently. And the Independent Writer of the Year is new. This is the first time it's ever been awarded. So I suppose I should say something about the honor of being the historical benchmark. Sue Duff's book, Fade to Black, is a good book. I enjoyed it. I read it. It reminded me a lot of Alastair Stone, the Alastair Stone novels. A stage magician who really does magic. It has a cover. It's very cool. I like the book a lot. I haven't read the second book. I read the first book. I liked it a lot. It had some formatting errors. Some of the one of the common mistakes is obscene breaks. because a lot of authors just put a couple paragraph breaks in. And of course, when it gets converted to HTML, and the HTML gets converted to an ebook, those carriage returns get erased, they get ignored. And so one scene ends, another scene begins, but there's no visual clue on the page. I guess there was an odd stripe of wet on the sidewalk there. And I'm looking around trying to figure out where did that come from. It's under a tree. So it's unlikely that it was condensation on one limb or anything like that. I think it's a sprinkler artifact. Because there was a hole in the brick wall just about where that line was pointing. So perhaps the sprinklers turned on and shot water through the hole, which dampened the sidewalk outside. Cause and effect, cause and effect. We see so many correlations that aren't really causal. Having a sprinkler turned on and having a wet spot in the sidewalk, it's not necessarily causal. It's possible. I'd want to see more evidence. So I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to say. One of the things that we've been talking about in the iPal group is how to celebrate without making it sound like we're pooping on trad pubs. There was a point in time where I thought, that's odd. Why are there two writers of the year? And the answer is, I think because it would be unfair for them to have to try to compete against indies, because they usually can get a book, if they're lucky, a book a year. Inhaled a bug. If they're lucky, a book a year. Indies can do two, three, three, four. If I get my act together, I can still do three this year. So what do you think? On one of the communities I'm in, and I don't know which one it was. I don't know if it's self-publishing or writer's discussion, one of them, but one of the usual gadflies is Ricardo Fayette, who is one of the people who's behind Readsy, R-E-E-D-S-Y. No, I don't recommend Readsy. Readsy is... Readsy is a clearinghouse. You publish your book with Readsy. You connect with their stable of editors and artists and layout people. And you pay the artist directly. Readsy gets a commission for findings fee. Reedsy takes their little cuts out of it here and there along the way. Activities which normally would not cost an author anything, but Reedsy sees it as a service. And they're constantly, at least once a week, sometimes more often, but at least once a week, they're putting up interviews explaining why Reedsy is, well, explaining some critical portion of the publishing market, and just obliquely why Reedsy is important to that, which I disagree with to start with. But there was the question was, does self-publishing help lit fic, literary fiction? Monk post. By getting the author outside of the agent publisher query go round and letting them go directly to readers. And the answer, of course, is yes. And I think the problem is, I'm not sure it really helps. Lit fic is small. Lit fic is not a popular, I mean, there are people who read literary fiction, don't get me wrong, don't come back at me. But the idea that literary fiction can be helped, I think, the problem with lit fic, keep from yelling over this lawnmower for a minute. The problem with lit fic is finding the audience, because you have to have an audience. For lit fic to work, you can't just, and because lit fic is very seldom in a series, you're selling every book individually. You've got people who can't find lit fic because it doesn't appear on shelves. It's fiction, general. Sometimes contemporary. So finding a shelf that has lit fic on it is something of a difficulty. You have to sort of have some kind of visibility somewhere, somehow, in order to make it all work. Morning. Now, genre fiction, you can go to science fiction, you can go to any of the subcats in science fiction, you can find books that you might like to look at. Lit fic, I'm not sure it's that easy. Lit fic, I'm not sure. I'm thinking of a book like Annie Proulx's Shipping News, which I read it and I endured. It was wonderful. I'm not going to hunt down Annie Proulx. A, she's Stratpub, and I'm not going to pay $15.99 for a novel. Ain't happening. I'm probably not going to pay $9.99 for a Tradpub novel. It ain't happening. Or very unlikely. $7.99 maybe. 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 Depends on the book. I should probably look and see if Lee Modisett's Imager series has come down. I bought the second book before I realized it was $14.95 in ebook. And that was the point where I said, okay, I'm done with Tradpub. Fire engine siren. Or it might be ambulance, I guess. Either way, not a good news. So, in August, about a month from now, I'm going over to the Western Slope, Grand Junction or Montrose, one of those places. And Lisa Manifold and I are going to do a day-long taking control of your career workshop. It should be interesting. It should be fun. I'm trying to figure out things like how do we tell people that most of what they know is wrong. To start there, the ideas of separating narrative from reality when it comes to traditional publishers is sort of like telling people their baby is ugly. A baby may be ugly, but telling people a baby is ugly isn't going to win friends and influence people. It's not going to convince them that lime green with the purple beanie is not actually as cute as they think. Understanding that most of the contracts these days work against the author. They always did work against the author because publishers run business. Contracts are in favor of the publisher. Agent contracts are in favor of the agent. Agents are in business. The historically, agents had a fiduciary relationship with their authors. So they were ethically bound to work in the author's best interest. It was the nature of the beast. These days, I'm not so sure. These days, it's not exactly clear who still maintains a fiduciary responsibility, who still maintains a fiduciary relationship. I'm coming up on the gazebo here in the park, which means I'm almost home. Sun's coming out. It's breaking through the clouds. I'm glad I got out when I did because it's going to be hot. It's supposed to be 99 today. I will be in undercover for most of it, so. The gazebo is very popular these days because it's I guess it's a pokey gym. I think somebody said it was a pokey gym. Everybody else in my house is playing Pokemon Go. I was the only one playing Ingress. Now I'm the only one not playing Pokemon Go. Niantic did use a lot of their images and sites and spaces for the Pokestops and Poke Gyms and whatever else they have. And the gazebo, which it tickled the hell out of my wife. I named that Ingress Portal, You've Awakened the Gazebo. Because we've always had this story of Eric awakening the gazebo that we have passed down in gaming lore to our children. And so they know about the gazebo. My elder progeny actually has a t-shirt. It's too late, Eric, you've awakened the gazebo. But it's apparently a pretty particular place. There's people out there all the time now. There are people who come and stop at the corner where the sign is, because the sign was one as well. So, yeah, I've left my mark on Pokemon Go without realizing it. At any rate, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. I'll, with any luck, have news about the Independent Writer of the Year. This will be the only year I ever apply for it. It is such a pain in the ass. I don't even want to be involved with it. I may judge or something, but yikes. At any rate, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.